and welcome once again. Praise God. It's Sunday again. I don't know if the time is speeding up. It sure seems like that to me. I had a friend say to me this week, asking that very question, do you feel like time is speeding up? And I said, yeah, it kind of feels that way. I'm not sure if it's because we're getting older or if life is just busier. Who's getting older? Okay, thank you. You're not getting older. I didn't say I'm aging in the flesh. I said I am gaining. I'm gaining wisdom. That's what I'm doing. Well, for the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about this great breaking forth that is just, I believe, on the horizon of the church. And, you know, when the Lord dropped that into my heart, I preached on it and I talked about it. But since then, it has been absolutely amazing how many of the people and the programs I'm listening to are saying exactly the same thing. And I'm like, whoa, this is definitely the Spirit of God just bringing the church into an awareness of the hour that we're in. We are on the brink. In fact, we got our feet wet already on the greatest revival, the greatest time that the church has ever seen. And I don't know about you, but I do not want to be left out. I want to be right in the middle of what God is about to do. And I've been calling it this great breaking forth, which is about to happen. And a time when God's glory is going to be poured forth. But it's not going to come from above. And like we've been talking about, this glory is going to pour forth from where? From within us. Because we are the temple. That's where God dwells, and his glory is on the inside of us, just like Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is within you. And so this glory is just going to be poured forth into the earth like never before. So God today is stirring up the hearts of his people, and you hear that. You hear that hunger, that longing, that yearning for more. Is this all there is? You know, we've had so many promises, and it's like you get complacent in your faith. You sit back and you settle, and you're not hungering for more. You're not seeking for more, striving to know more of God or to experience more of God. But I do believe today and at this hour, the Holy Spirit is beginning to stir up the people of God. And especially as we look around us and see some of the horrible things that are taking place in this world, it's like all of a sudden you just, you know, like the Bible says, awake, you that are asleep. Get up, look around, see what's going on. Lift up your eyes. But this is truly a work of the Holy Spirit, who has been raising up teachers over the last, I don't know how many years, but I know that in the last 5 years for sure, this church has really changed. At least I, as the pastor, have been directing the messages and the word more towards the grace and the righteousness, which I maybe didn't do so much in the past. But this is the working of the Holy Spirit, who has been raising up teachers of true righteousness, the truth about the righteousness of God in Christ in these last days. Isaiah chapter 62, let's open there this morning. Isaiah chapter 62, and I want us to read verses 1 and 2. Isaiah 62, 1 and 2. Now, keeping in line with last week's message, when we looked in Isaiah chapter 58, and we talked about the breaking forth that we saw there, and if you weren't here, you'd be well off to get the message, because it's going to, today's message will bring so much more understanding if you've heard what I said last week. But in Isaiah chapter 62, verses 1 and 2, I just said this statement: the Holy Spirit today is working. He is raising up teachers of righteousness. And here it says in Isaiah 62, 1 and 2, for Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles will see thy righteousness, and all kings. The word kings means leaders. thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. So Jesus expressly speaks about the Holy Spirit and what he is commissioned to do when he comes upon the earth. John chapter 16. Now I'm going to be doing some teaching and I'm going to be going through a lot of scriptures, but I'm going to, at the end, I want to tie it all together. So Jesus said in John chapter 16, when he was still on the earth, I want us to pick it up in verse 8 to 14. John chapter 16, verse 8 to 14. Jesus talking about the coming promise of the Holy Spirit. And he says, or he lists three things that the Holy Spirit will accomplish or carry out when he comes. Verse 8, Jesus says this, and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin. Now, if you don't have the word world written on you in underlined in your Bible, you ought to. He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now, what does the word reprove mean? It means to convict or convince. To convince. He will convict or convince them of sin. Verse 9. Why? Because they do not believe on me. Verse 10. The second thing he will do is convict of righteousness. Why? Because, Jesus says, I'm going to my Father and you see me no more. Verse 11. He is going to convict or convince of judgment. Why? Because the prince of this world is judged. I have many things to say, but you cannot hear them now, Jesus says. In other words, you're not able to understand. But however, he said, when the Spirit of truth has come, he is going to guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he will hear, that will he speak. And he will show you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will receive of mine and will show it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I say that he will take of mine and he will show it to you. Now, let's go back. The very first thing the Holy Spirit does is convict who of sin? The world. It's not if you are a child of God, your conviction is over. He is not the one that convicts you of sin. It's the enemy who is the accuser of the brethren. You once were of the world. You once were a sinner. And the Holy Spirit convicted you of that truth. And that there was no way that you could ever be good enough to make it. That's what the conviction is. You couldn't make it on your own efforts or your own goodness. You needed a Savior. But once you have received that Savior, the Holy Spirit does not convict you of sin any longer. Then the Holy Spirit now convinces us of what? Or convicts us of what? The second one. That we are righteous. That's a huge job. He must, or he does, convict us of our righteousness. So let's go back and say, do this again. The first one, the Holy Spirit convicts the sinner of sin. Why? Because he doesn't believe. And until he believes, he will be convicted of sin by the Spirit. Number two, he convicts the righteous of righteousness. Why? Because I'm going back to my Father. What does that mean? Why did Jesus say that? Holy Spirit has come to convict you, convince you, Kendra, that you are now righteous because I'm going to be leaving. And thirdly, judgment. Who is convicted of judgment? The Holy Spirit is convicting us, you and I, of Satan's, who is the prince of this world, his judgment. He's already been judged. That's the third thing the Holy Spirit will do. In other words, he no longer is our God. He's been judged. We are free from his dominion. We are now made righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ. And through that righteousness, we now, instead of being under him, we are above him. We have dominion over him. That's the third thing the Holy Spirit needs to convict us of. But I want to go and back to the second part that the Holy Spirit does, And I want to key in on some things this morning. The second part that the Holy Spirit convicts us is our righteousness in Christ. And this morning, is what I want to really drive home. It's so vitally important to the breaking forth of the glory that's already on the inside of us. The moment, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 that if he has called you, he has already justified you. If he has justified you, justified meaning made righteous, he has already glorified you. You see, it's already done, and it's all been put on the inside of us. So you need to know what's on the inside of you. It is so vitally important that we understand our righteousness. And Jesus said he will convict us, the Holy Spirit will convict us of righteousness. Why? Because I go to the Father. Now, as long as Jesus was on the earth, our Heavenly Father worked his works through the flesh body of Jesus. Jesus was given by the Father all power, all dominion over all things. Whatsoever thing Jesus said, whatsoever thing he commanded, whatever Jesus did, the Father backed it up with the works. Wouldn't that be awesome? In other words, he brought it to pass. And in order, you need to understand this, in order for God to work in this physical earth, he needs a physical body. Now, he had a physical body. It was Jesus. And that physical body died. And he was raised a glorious. His body was glorious. It was transformed. He had no right to work on the earth any longer. You see, you've got to be a flesh body in order to work on the earth. God wants his kingdom. Thy kingdom come on the earth as it is in heaven. God desires, because of his love for all of us, he wants his glory, his goodness. He wants his life to be on the earth. He doesn't want us to live the way most of us are living, but he needs a body. And that's where we come in. He worked through the body of Jesus. Why? Jesus was the sinless, spotless Son of God. He never did no sin. He had no sin. He had every right to pour his power into Jesus and authority. Jesus laid, yes, he's God, but he laid it all down. And God gave him all power and all authority over all flesh. Why? Because Jesus was righteous. So God worked through the flesh body of his own son, Jesus. And when Jesus went back to heaven, he says, because I have to leave, you got to know that you're the body that now God has to work through. I have. And he went all the way to the death of the cross so that we, you and I, he died for our sin. He shed his blood to wash away all of our sin and make us holy and blameless, that there is blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven, completely forgiven for all time. And because he took upon himself our sin, he became our righteousness, he gave us the free gift of righteousness. And now, because he's gone, our Father wants to work through you and through me, because he has made us to be the righteousness of God. We have been made righteous not by our own efforts, our own works, but by the blood of Jesus Christ. God, you know, when you think about it, God has always wanted a people. I don't know why we have to convince the church that God wants us blessed, that God wants to pour out his power in you and through you. Why do we have to stand up here? I ask myself that. Why do I have to stand in the pulpit and convince us of this truth? That we can see what God wants and desires more than anything to do in our lives. And yet we study and we study and we study and we try to believe it. Isn't that weird? I find that weird. And if we could only see the heart of God, he has been trying down through the history. He has always wanted a people. That's why he chose Israel. Why did he want this people that he could call his own, that he could take and separate apart from the rest of the world, and that he could just pour himself upon his and pour himself through his love, his goodness, his prosperity, his health, his every good thing, that these people, his people would be so set apart and so far above the one the rest of the world. Why? Because he wanted to make himself known. And the heart of God has not changed. There is a lost and dying world all around us. And God is calling his people, I want you to make me known in the earth. The call has never changed. And so this breaking forth that I'm talking about is when God's people finally get it together and say, okay, we're going to allow God to flow through us. We finally believe it, that he's chosen us to do this. So righteousness is not something we earn. It's a gift that God has given us, but it has a purpose. The gift of righteousness has to be used. It's not enough just to know that you're the righteousness. Oh yes, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ, and one day I'm going to go to heaven when I die. As he is, so am I. I'm beautiful and blameless and holy on the inside. I mean, yes, God loves you, and God gave you that gift. Yes, so that you could eternally enjoy him and go to heaven. But there's another purpose for it. You need to use it. Awake, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 34. Awake unto righteousness. Wake up. So God's free gift is for us to use, just like we've been talking over the last month about the body of Christ and the communion table and how God gave us a body. And that if you don't use the body, he says, if you do not eat of my body, you will not have life. We need to come boldly to the table and partake whatever we need from that body, because Jesus gave it all up for us. And he's laid out on an altar and he says, you come, eat freely. Just take what you need. If it's healing for your body, you come and you take it. You partake. Because the blood that I shed has given you the right to eat of the things of the altar. The blood has made us the righteousness of God. And righteousness is a gift that God wants us to use. It's not our righteousness. It was given to us as a gift. God wants his children to reign. What does the word reign mean in life through this gift of righteousness? The Bible tells us in Romans 5:17. So the word reign means to rule, have authority in life in the name of Jesus. And this righteousness that God has given us as a gift is the very thing, and I'm going to prove this through Scripture, that needs to break forth out of you. How do you use righteousness? You let it flow out of you. We're going to talk more. This is part one. Next week is how we're going to talk more about how it flows out. Now, I want us to go back to Isaiah chapter 62 again. Isaiah 62. And I want to read once again verse 1. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest. Until what? When is God going to rest? Until the righteousness goes forth. Until the righteousness goes forth. Guess what that word go means? Anybody guess? It means to break forth, to break out. Until righteousness breaks out. Sometimes we read that scripture and we get the idea that God's not going to rest until his righteousness has been placed inside of us. No. Righteousness is already there. He's not going to rest until it breaks forth out of us. It's already broke forth out of him. It's already here. It's in the earth. It's in us. So this word go means to break forth, to come forth. What is it breaking forth as? Listen carefully. To break forth as what? Until my righteousness breaks forth as brightness. Brightness. Remember from last week, we studied from Isaiah 58, and I said this about the fast that God has chosen. Is it not to loose the bands of wickedness? Is it not to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke? This is what you and I are called to do. We're waiting for God to do this. He said, it's you. Is this not the fast I've chosen, that you go out and you break every yoke? You let the oppressed go free. You take the heavy burdens off. Is it not to deal your bread to the hungry, bring the poor into your home, to cover the naked and not hide yourself from your own flesh? Now, I believe this scripture in verse 7 is not only referring to the physical part of man. Yes, if your brother is physically hungry, feed him. But it's also referring to the spiritual side. There's people out there who haven't got a clue. We're told if you go out and you feed the hungry, those who need to hear the word of God, hungry to know the truth. And the poor refers to those that are hopeless, who have no hope, poor in spirit. The naked could be referring to those who are not born again. They have no covering. Then shall thy light break forth. There's the word again. That righteousness goes forth as brightness. Then shall your light break forth. There's the breaking forth. As the morning, and what? Thine health shall spring forth speedily. Thy righteousness will go before thee. This breaking forth in the body of Christ is the righteousness of God. That's what it is. It's the light. And it's this light that brings healing, restoration, brings peace. The light that is in us, the truth about our righteousness, is about to break forth in the body of Christ. It is the foundation of our power. It is the foundation of our boldness. And God's glory will flow through us to the world. Isaiah 60, verse 1, it lines up with this one as well. Arise, shine. You ever wonder what we're going to be shining with? The shining, for thy light is come. What is the light? The righteousness of God on the inside of us. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness will cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. That's where we are. But the Lord will arise upon thee, and his glory will be seen upon thee. And Gentiles and kings will come to the brightness of your rising. To the brightness. Righteousness goes forth as brightness. And when we rise up, wake to righteousness, and we begin to operate in that righteousness, which is, like I say, for today, we're going to not go into much of that. Next week, I really want to dig in and talk about that. Then the glory of the Lord is going to just begin to cover the sea, or to cover the earth like the sea. That's what the scripture says. And, you know, we've been waiting on God for revival. Oh, God. Send revival. Oh, God, cover the earth with your glory. That's what we pray. And God is sitting there saying, oh, I just wish you'd release what I already gave you. God is not going to come down and start a revival. The revival starts in us. As God's people recognize and realize we have the righteousness of God. We are the righteousness of God. And this light that's in us, we've been putting under a bed. The Bible, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. You don't put a candlestick under the bed, but you put it on the counter, or you set it up on a candlestick so that what? It can bring light to the whole house. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. That's what we are here in this church. Each one of us is shining with righteousness, the righteousness of God. Do you think the devil doesn't know it? Oh, yeah, he knows it. He just don't want you to know it. Because we know that once we know it, he's got to flee. Light always dispels darkness. Always. Let your light shine and dispel the darkness. Now I want us to turn to one more scripture, Isaiah 61:11. They're all worked together, Isaiah 60, 61, 62. Verse 11, for as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causes the things that are sown in to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations. This is that, there again, the spring forth. That's that breaking forth. It's righteousness that God has been waiting for his people to just let it out. Walk in the light. Let the light out. You are the righteousness of God. We call this revival in the church, but I like to call it a breaking forth. A breaking forth of the true righteousness of God. And this breaking forth comes through his people. It's not God is going to send forth righteousness and establish it in the earth. He already has done that through the cross. We really are the righteousness of God by faith. And this is what the Holy Spirit today is convicting God's people of. Until we get to a place in the faith where we finally, it's like, I am the righteousness of God in faith. And the righteousness which is of faith acts, it speaks, it works. It all of a sudden gives you that, what am I doing putting up with all of this? I have dominion over all of this. You see, it gets you moving. But it's not only for you. It's for your neighbors. It's for your family, your friends. Jesus had the righteousness of God. He was completely whole and well. But he gave it to others. He gave it to others. So we've been waiting for God to pour out his glory. And the truth is, God's waiting for us to break forth in his righteousness. And his glory will follow. This gift of righteousness that we've been given is your authority on the earth. It's your authority. And he wants you and I to use this authority to loose the bands of wickedness. Is this not the fast that I've chosen? To undo the heavy burdens, to set the oppressed free, and to break every enslaving yoke. God has given the church the mandate and the authority to do the works that Jesus did when he was on the earth. John, remember Jesus said in John chapter 17 in his high priestly prayer, in verse 18, he says, as you have sent me into the world, Father, so I'm sending them. What was Jesus sent into the world for? To beg and plead his Father to bring healing? And did Jesus ever pray? No, he used his authority. He had been given all power and all authority to do, to allow the Father to work through him. And that's, we are called to do the same thing. This righteousness is the very righteousness that Jesus operated in. It has been given to you and I as a gift. But it has to be used. You are the light of the world through this gift of righteousness. And you need to we need to stand up and let our light shine. Arise and shine, the Bible says, for the glory has come. The light has already come. The power to rule and reign in life comes through this gift of righteousness. It's a righteousness you and I already have. We just don't know it. But you and I surely must believe it, and then we need to take a stand in it. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. This will be our last scripture this morning. Luke 10, 19. This one I have to look up. I didn't. Here is a prelude to the New Testament church. Luke 10:19. Jesus says to his disciples, let's go back to verse 17, after Jesus had sent them out. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name. And he said to them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. There goes the third conviction of the Holy Spirit, the judgment of Satan. I saw Satan fall as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given unto you power to tread on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing, there is no thing by any means that can hurt you. Just meditate on that this week. No thing can hurt you. I don't care what you're going through in your life. I don't care what's coming against you to do you harm, whether it's a physical thing, whether it's a mental thing, or maybe it's something in your job. It says no thing can cause harm to you. Nothing. The devil can do. He ain't what he used to be in your life. He can do nothing. And if he is at work right now and you're seeing and experiencing him, don't look like he's not doing nothing. It don't matter, because you are going to let your light shine. And you got to remember the light that's in you, which is the force of righteousness. It is his righteousness. Always, always dispels darkness. And you need to be long-suffering. You need to be patient. And you need to continue on and let that light shine until the darkness flees. Don't be weary in well-doing. You will reap if you faint not. And the devil knows it. He is the author of every evil thing, every curse. Not God. God has said, I've given you the gift of righteousness, given you power to tread on every, on all of your enemies, and nothing can by any means hurt you. Do you think Jesus lied? This was before the cross. He said that to his disciples. Nothing can hurt you. That's a big statement. Nothing by any means can hurt you. We need to take that to heart. I just wanted to show us today the righteousness. I wanted to re-encourage us. I know we've heard this message so many times that we are the righteousness of God by faith. But I needed to show us what it has to do with the breaking out and the revival that is about to happen. I believe it is that. It is God's people finally coming into awareness that we are the righteousness of God in Christ. And not wait for God to do it. Jesus sent the disciples out and he said, you go out and heal the sick. You go out and cast out demons. You go do it. It is your mandate to go out and do the works of God. And the church for so long has been waiting for God to do it. Oh Lord, please send this, send that. And he's saying, until you get the initiative, you awake to righteousness, and you out, and then there's going to be this breaking forth like you have never seen before. God is faithful. He will honor his word. We don't have to be afraid that when we go out and begin to use the righteousness he's given us to deliver people, to pray for people, to speak. It's more than that. It's so much more than that, and that's where I want to go next week, and I'm excited because I've got some things the Lord has been showing me about using righteousness and also showing us it locates us in our own lives and how we haven't been using our righteousness, and we've kind of been sitting and waiting for God to do something. But I don't know about you. I want to see this breaking forth. I want to see God's people finally rise up in the righteousness and in the power that we've had the whole time. I want to see the glory of the Lord beginning to flow into this world. I mean, can it get any darker? Really? And the answer isn't, you know, the answer is to love and to allow God's light to heal people, to reach people, to change people's hearts. Unless people's hearts change, there can be no change on the earth. We know that. You can't change the outside until you change the inside. And that's no different than with us. Until we change the way we see ourselves, until we change and see that we really are the righteousness of God in Christ, and it's not got nothing to do with me, it is all to do with the blood of Jesus, we will never have the assurance and the confidence to step out and allow that light and that glory of God to flow through us. And so this week I want us all to meditate on that scripture, on those truths. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. And that righteousness is my power. It's my authority. You know, he's waiting for you to use your power. Next week, I want to talk about how we pray as soon as we have a problem. We pray to God about the problem. We speak to God. God is saying, speak to the problem. I've given you the power over the problem. It would be like you being hired as a police officer and given the authority to man a certain part of your community. But every time a problem happens, you go to your superior and say, oh, well, they're stealing in there was a bank robbery. What are you going to do about it? And he looked at you and said, that's what you got the badge for. That's why I gave you the authority. You go deal with it. That's your job. And that's kind of how the church has been. We go to God and we talk to him about the problem. Oh, God, I trust you. I give you my problem. And he's saying, no. I've given you the authority and the power over that problem. You speak to the problem. Don't speak about the problem. Speak to the problem. You tell the problem what you want it to do. You see, and we don't do that. We pray, and we're just waiting for God to deal with our problem. No more. It's time for us to take the authority, to take the righteousness God has given us, and to truly begin to use it in our lives. What a gift he's given us. No wonder the Bible says, what a gift. We just don't know we got it. We are joint heirs. The promise of Abraham. What was the promise given to Abraham? That he would inherit the world. He had authority. Everything in the world belonged to him. It belongs to you. God set it up as so. He created the earth and everything in it. And then he gives you the authority over all things. He expects you to use that authority. Amen? So we're going to go into this more next week and talk more about how to use this authority. And I know it'll encourage us. It'll encourage us to have an expectancy to see the revival and the glory of God, just to see more of God, right? Just to see the Lord really beginning to work in our lives and in the lives of others. So for this week, I want to pray that we all come into a greater understanding of the fact that we already are the righteousness of God in Christ. We're not trying to attain it. We already are. You can't receive any more power or authority than you already have right now on the inside of you. You just need to use it. You need to tap into it. You need to believe it, first of all, and then you need to use it. And stand. The Bible says, having done all, stand. Take your stand. Speak to that thing that's causing problems in your life. And just keep on speaking in the name of Jesus. Do not back down. Stand, having done all, stand. And God is faithful. You will have the victory. Amen. Amen. Father,